Well, hello, everybody. My name is Kirk. I'm joined by Vince for another show of Uncomfortable. Thanks again for joining us. We're so excited to have another conversation to hopefully make you a little uncomfortable, really make you think about the gospel, get into the word yourself, and start studying out the truth of God. Vince and I are completely convinced that in everything that all of us do, that we need to study the word on an individual level, that where we will be rooted and founded in the gospel. And there's no way you can do that when you're completely comfortable. Now, what I mean by that is when you're completely comfortable, most of the time you'll take that passive voice, that passive outlook on things, and you'll not challenge yourself to get in the word to prove what you think and what you believe. Now, today, Vince and I are going to tackle a topic that many people, including a couple of my kids, have asked me about over the years, is God completely in control? Now, in that, we're specifically talking about, does he get into the fine-grained details of your day-to-day life, and does he control your decisions? Does he actually say, Vince, you're going to go and take a right down Keys Boulevard, and then you're going to take a left down Jones Road, and then you're going to take another right on blah, 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 and then you're going to go buy some guacamole and chips, and then you're going to go home, and you're going to give it away to somebody that's your neighbor? Does he make those decisions for you? Does he require you to make some decisions in your life? You know, how many times, Vince, when you've been teaching class, have you had people, because you and I both have seen this when we were at Christ for the Nations, or we'd have conversations with our roommates, with people that we knew, and we would talk about theological what-ifs or theological conundrums or, you know, deep thoughts, you know, like Deep Thoughts by Kirk and Vince. Maybe we could have even named ourselves that, you know?
Deep Thoughts with Kirk and Vince. Yeah, I like that.
You know, but really, I mean, how many times did we stay up late at night in the dorms and start asking our roommates, other people we knew, people that were leaders within, you know, like the resident advisors and stuff, people in, you know, that were in their third year for pastoral, and sometimes even the deans, depending on what kind of relationship you had with them, you'd say, hey, what do you think about? And you'd pose this topic, and it was something that would be something you could argue from like six different ways.
Yeah. First of all, I have to say this. There's nothing wrong with guacamole and chips. Shout out to Martin and Lucy and Quentin and Jennifer. They make some of the best guacamole. Man, look, they almost border on slap your mama good, but I wouldn't slap my mama for some guacamole, but I would for some gumbo.
You know, my wife does pretty good on the guacamole herself. Of course, coming from Mexico, she should.
I'll say this. So, all kidding aside, and you said the random musings or whatever between you and I, there are things that I think it's interesting when you are in school, when you are in college and you are of that age, you tend to be in a thing where even in Bible school, specifically and talking about when you are going to Bible school, you do spend that time going over and thinking about, and especially when you have one professor that may put one bit of information out and you have another one that might be talking about it slightly differently, or two guest speakers that come through and one week they're on this side of it and the other week they're on the complete opposite side. And, you know, and then we've got all the labels. We've got our Calvinists and our Orthodox and our this and our that and whatever. And, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, what am I supposed to think? Everybody's trying to indoctrinate me with some sort of tradition and what's the real deal? And I think that it's great when you're able to sit down with others and kind of just hash that out, because it's a lot more like come now and let us reason together. So when you're sitting in that place and you are doing that and you're like, okay, let's reason this out, let's hash this out, let's get this done. It's a case of like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to go with this aspect? Are we going to choose to believe what they say? Are we going to choose to believe what we believe? Or let's talk about the different sides of this, and let's look at the fact that, like, okay, well, I grew up learning this way, and I grew up learning this way. And so it can get kind of heated sometimes, but if you're doing it amongst friends, hopefully you guys can at least trust that you'll come back together, even if you get kind of heated and have to walk away. And whether you change your belief system or not, it's not even what we're trying to do tonight. All we're trying to do, like usual, is introduce topics to create conversations, so Absolutely. That even across platforms and however we're communicating, whether it be nationally, internationally, or whatever, it creates conversation, and we can begin to do what the word says, and that's iron sharpens iron.
Well, we also want to foster thought. I mean, think about it. Many times when we were at Christ for the Nations together, and like you said, the opposing views would be spoken about 1 week one thing, 1 week another. You would have to really think about it, consider it, and begin to study the word yourself to understand what exactly the gospel actually says. Because it's real easy mm-hmm. when mom and dad talk about something or the preacher talks about something, just to take it as gospel and never take it further than what someone tells you, right? Well, that's not mm-hmm. what the Word of God tells us to do. It says that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. We're supposed to be in the Word. And so our goal, like Vince was saying, is that you will get in the Word, that you'll study it, that you'll have conversations yes. with your leaders, that you'll have conversations with other folks, and that you'll ultimately get in the Word and see what the gospel says for yourself. Now, in that, when it comes to day-to-day routines, how many times, Vince, especially when you've been talking to students, you know, now that you're a teacher, how many times have you seen it where people have this attitude that God dictates every line, every dot, everything?
Yeah, like, see, now we're starting to head into that whole predetermined predestination kind of thing, and
Calvinism versus
the right versus other aspects of it. And you know, I know some people are going to get upset about this one, but I mean, look, if we're going to come to the table as brothers, if we're going to come brothers and sisters and do what Isaiah 1:18 says, where it says, come now, let us reason together, right? And I know that it goes deeper into that, you know, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be like wool. So that's just so you guys hear context. I'm not misquoting the scripture here. I'm just saying that it's important for us to come together so that we can be purified through that process. I think that my personal belief in that is that God, although he knows everything and he's not surprised by the things that happen and the decisions that are made, I am of the belief that that he has a specific path. It's not predetermined as in you don't have a choice. It's predetermined as in there's a select path for you, a perfect plan and path that he has for you to follow, and that he continues from the time, even before salvation, he continues to try to woo people to that path. And he creates these opportunities for you to get on that path with him. And as a believer, you, even if you get off of that, he tries to create more opportunities for you to get back on this perfect plan, this perfect path. Not necessarily that every time you bend your finger or you put something in the microwave that it's like already pre-planned out and you don't have a choice in the matter. I think the plan and the path is determined, but he never violates that free will, and we can choose to follow that perfect plan or we can choose not to, and he will continue to try to set us back on that perfect way, that perfect path. So
that's right.
And I might get in trouble with some of my brothers and sisters out there. Please don't hate. It's just what I've come to believe over the years. And I think what happens is we get galvanized on one side or the other.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is it should be It usually the truth lies somewhere in between.
Well, you know, Paul tells us in the gospel, he goes, I beat myself daily. Now we know that's figurative. He doesn't mean that he physically takes a whip and beats himself. That's not what he's trying to tell us. He's saying that I
That's
beat
true.
myself daily so that I can qualify to run the race. Now, he did not say he beat himself daily so that he would reach salvation. He said so that he would qualify to run the race. So if God's in control, as in completely in control to where there's no option, you're going to do A, B, C, and D, and that's just the way it is. With Paul being the one that was going to win the majority of the known world, why would he even need to make the statement that he has to beat himself daily so that he can qualify to run the race?
Well, let's go back even further. What would be the point of Jesus having to come?
There you
If
go.
it's all pre-planned, preset, and it's all determined already, then what's the point of Jesus coming? What's the point of why aren't we just mindless automatons
Why are we not
worshiping?
marionettes? You know, why does he not have strings to each one of us, guiding us down the road, you know, directing us with, you know, or like a robot? I mean, if that's the case, we might as well just be robots.
No, I concur with that. It's exactly what I'm getting to. I think it's absolutely 100% spot on.
Now, do I
So,
believe that God sometimes can get in the middle of things? Absolutely.
oh,
I mean,
sure,
the
yeah.
fact that he will heal people and there's miracles proves that he will at times get in the middle of things. Now, can we always explain the why? No. Is there a lot of mystery as to the way he operates? Absolutely. But we know that he will, from time to time, get in the middle of our lives, stir up in our business, and sometimes I personally feel that he allows us to go through certain things as a potential for growth. I almost think of God as the most, now, how do I say this the most politically correct way to where it's not misunderstood? I don't want to say the word exploit because that could be taken completely wrong. God's like a great entrepreneur. He sees potential and he exploits the potential to its fullest extent. As in, if he sees that Vince can grow because he's going to have to walk, you know, 5 miles every day to get to work, you know, he might cause him to have to walk 5 miles. Now, that's an extreme, you know, that's not literal. But
I think a great, I think a great way that you're, I think the thing you're looking for is more like a coach acknowledging potential in a player.
exactly. And that's the thing. Because when you're trying to grow, whether it's martial arts, whether it's running track, whether it's lifting weights, if you never move beyond what you can never get to where you can't. And some people could say, but if you can't do it, you just can't do it. No, you can. Especially in weight training, most things are in your mind. And a lot of times your blockers are mental blockers. Your body can actually go much further, but you've told yourself you can't, so you stop. In the same way, as we go through life, and let's just use sin for an example, and we'll just use pornography because a lot of people, I think it's like 80% of the world, they're saying currently struggles with pornography. In the church, out of the
That's a
church,
huge number.
it doesn't, it's a huge number. And so the reality is if someone just never realizes they can not have to look at it, that they can say no to it, they're going to keep running to that same trap every time. Right? So, but once they realize they can be free and they no longer have to participate in that cycle, then they have the potential to say no and run the other way. And the same thing is like if someone's dealing with alcohol, if they never realize they can go a day without alcohol, you know, if they're struggling with it and they don't have the potential to grow beyond it, then someone needs to help show them, to stretch them, to show, oh, you can go a day without it. Oh, no, you can go 5 days. Oh, you can go a month, a year. Next thing you know, they've grown to such a degree to where they no longer need it. It's no longer a need in their life. And just like weight training, you go into the gym, you hit your 180, your 200 pounds, and you're like, I'm just maxed out. Well, you get yourself a spotter, And you get somebody to start helping you go just that extra half pound, extra pound. Next thing you know, you're going 210, 220, 230, because you build with just a little bit here and there. And next thing you know, you're 1 to 2 reps of 110 goes to a set of 10. Then your 1 or 2 reps of 220 goes to 10 sets. I'm sorry, 10 reps of your set, right? And so it grows exponentially, but you need somebody to help show you you can move to your next potential. Now, I don't believe everything's beneficial for everyone. Now, I like lifting weights, but at the same time, I'm not one of these people who thinks to themselves that I need to look like Schwarzenegger. I don't think I need that. But at the same time, I want to be healthy. You know, I want to live in a healthy way. So I try to push myself. And so the same thing is when we're looking at Christ, when we're looking at a relationship with God, and we say, God, why am I going through this struggle in my life? Why am I going through this heartache? Why am I going through this pain? Why am I going through this suffering? And we try to blame game God. Well, most of the time we've made choices in our life, sometimes not, but most of the time we've made choices that have led us down a certain path, or other people may have made choices that affected our life to go down a certain path. And there's certain actions that come from the decisions that were made. It's just the way it is. God's put certain laws in this world that he's not going to violate the rules he set already in motion. Gravity is a perfect example. If I'm trying to get up to, you know, let's just say I'm trying to go to Peru to reach someone for the gospel. I mean, it'd be a whole lot easier if I could jump about 500 miles and not injure myself. Just do a real powerful jump, jump about 1,000 feet up in the air and come down gently. Man, that would be awesome. But God created,
that would be great.
God created something called gravity, man. You know, and so because of that, there's certain natural laws that he has in place that he doesn't violate just because it's easier for us to get down to Peru or to Mexico or to China or, you know, India or wherever. You know, that's not even a consideration. He's not violating those rules just for that. He's like, okay, Vince or Kirk or whomsoever, you have an assignment, figure out how to get it done. Make a plan. I'll direct your plan. Make arrangements to get things done. You know, stretch yourself to your potential and go further. Think about the rich ruler that gave out the talents. He gave out 5 to 1, 3 to another, and 1 to the other, right? These people, he knew they had some potential, but what happened? One of them doubled it to 10, the other doubled it to 6, and then the other one freaked out and goes, dude, I'm just burying this, man. He might come back on me. You know, but the ruler expected that they would stretch themselves, that they would take a risk, that they would invest, and they had to go beyond the comfort of what if I lose the money?
Yeah, I would... You know, it's interesting the way you kind of picture that. And I go back to the working out thing for a second, because it's funny. We got to realize that the enemy wants to come after us, and life comes after you too. Yep. And the enemy sometimes likes to use circumstances in life to try to beat you down. And actually Saturday night at church, we were talking about it, that a lot of times when you're believing God for something and you are putting your faith out there in quotation marks to believe for something, that faith is like a, and something he was showing me was, it's belief mixed with hope. And the enemy likes to try to beat the hope out of you so that you're missing ingredients when you're believing God for stuff and you're putting your faith out there for stuff. So when you kind of have that, and it's almost like you're working out while trying to dodge things coming at you. Like, you know, there's those big medicine balls, right? When you work out in the gym, and they're like, I remember there's this one coach, man, he'd hold it up over your stomach And he'd start really, really low, like real close. He's like, okay, you need to tighten your muscles. I'm gonna drop it. And some people would never tighten their muscles, and they're like, he's not really gonna do it. And then he'd drop it, and they'd go, ugh. And then you'd tighten your muscles, and after a little while, he'd do that at that height for a little bit, and he'd raise the height, and he'd raise the height again, and then he'd raise again. And you've probably seen it in some of these videos that some people do that, and then they get to the
Oh, yeah.
point where they're like, they're doing crunches while somebody's dropping a medicine ball on them, or they're doing sprints or side steps, and they're tossing a medicine ball back and forth. So they're like working out multiple groups. So, like,
They're
if
throwing
you
it
can
straight at the
imagine, like,
ground and trying to catch it when it bounces back up. Yep.
right, like, imagine doing like squats or something, and then they're tossing a medicine ball at your face or at your chest or something like that. That's kind of like a life in the equation. God is giving you things to help strengthen you because he sees that potential in you. But the enemy's over there trying to, and life is over on the other side, trying to throw things at you, trying to put hurdles in your way, trying to take you out in any way that's possible. And so when you trip and you fall and you hit your face on things like this, it's not the same.
Right.
We're like, oh, well, God did this to me. Well, God didn't do it to you. You got an enemy that's coming at you. It's like you're doing football practice and you're doing weight training and they release the opposing team in the room to tackle you. And they're like, hey, show no mercy. Just tackle them the whole time they're working out. And you got to try to do that and duck and dodge that stuff. Things come up in life and we don't always get to choose how that happens, but if we stay close to God, he uses those things to strengthen us. He uses those things to bring strength and endurance and patience and and spiritual maturity.
Absolutely. So I think that we're both on the same vein here, where it really seems as though God's desire for each and every one of us is to be stretched to our fullest potential. He desires for us to use every opportunity to grow and to be brought higher. Brought to a deeper place in his presence, a deeper place into his kingdom. And I think what we have to move beyond is some of these dogmented ideas. And don't get me wrong, I'm definitely a man who loves faith. I'm not saying not to have faith. I think you need faith. But what I'm trying to say by saying that you need to move beyond dogmented ideas is get out of the religious mindset and start looking for what the message God's trying to bring you. Too many times, I think what
Definitely.
happens is we get in the midst of the storm. We figure there must be no way out. God must have intended this thing. And we forget there's a growth opportunity here. No matter this was the enemy or the Lord or whatever it is, there's a growth opportunity here. And I need to take advantage of this opportunity the best way that I can.
Well, we got to remember, I mean, we're in a sinful, fallen world. And, you hear the question so much about why would a loving God allow bad things to happen? And it's because, again, it's the choice issue. We're born into sin, we're born into our trespasses, and we then sit there and go, oh, well, if there really is a God. And honestly, I think it's a way of, for us, when a lot of times when we say that and we ask that question, it's a lot of times it's for us, it's a way to try and justify how we're living. Well, if there was a loving God, then obviously there wouldn't be any of these things. Well, if you hadn't lied and cheated and stole today, then maybe the world would be a better place. And I'm not saying you specifically, whoever you means, and but I'm just saying we all sin and fall short. We all could be accused of being liars and cheaters and stealers and thieves. I mean, and all of that stuff. So if that's the case, if we wake up and can do that, then how is it that God's at fault for our choices?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's like blaming somebody because they something happened to you and they had nothing to do with it. Because you opened the store today, so you own a Walmart, right? You open up Walmart today, you open up your store, and because you open your store and I went in your store and somebody ran over me with a buggy and knocked me over and I hit my head on the floor, it's your fault because you opened your store today. That no, blame the idiot who running over you with the cart.
Yeah, they weren't paying attention. They were playing with their iPhone or Android, and or they were paying attention to their child and or person that was walking next to them instead of paying attention to what they were doing. So
Or they just didn't care and ran you right over.
that's it. I think the root of what we're trying to get to, guys, is we want you to take the Word of God and dig into it. Don't just say, well, there's nothing I can do in life. Everything's written in stone. It's just what it is. No, get in the Word. Study the Word. See what the Word says for yourself. Begin to actually take ownership of your life, take ownership of your spiritual growth, and begin to leap by leaps and bounds, get deeper into the Spirit of God and His Word and into the relationship that He desires for you. And don't just sit back and hope things are going to fall into place. It's kind of like a project manager just, taking all of the information from the projects that they're working on and just kind of throwing them out on the table, kind of like tiles, and hoping they land in the right place and that hoping all the projects work right. The project manager is going to have to be diligent in taking ownership of each piece of that project to make sure that they all execute well. In the same way, God gives each and every one of us different pieces to our life, and He expects for us to take ownership of it and to run with it so that we can be successful for His kingdom. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up, Vince?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about the so I just wanted to be clear, like we're just trying to broach a subject that is it can be uncomfortable to try to conversate with. And we're not saying that it's a case of we know better, we don't know better. We're not trying to avoid getting into certain things. All we're trying to do is to bring it up, right? We're trying to breach it and talk about it and talk about the fact that it needs to be something that's discussed. We're not discussing enough these different things. We're either just accepting it or we're questioning it, and sometimes it's causing us to waver in our faith. And some of
Absolutely.
it is happening because people aren't willing to answer the questions because they're not willing to go do the digging for themselves.
Or
And
sometimes they won't even ask the questions.
yeah, because they're afraid that they're going to feel stupid. So, hey, look, I'm willing to be the stupid one on you guys' behalf. I'll ask the dumb questions. Like, as Kurt's going to wrap this up, I'll steal a piece of his wrap up. Send in what you have. Like, message us, email us, send it in and say, hey, you guys talk about this. Hey, I have a question about that. I'll be the one that looks stupid for you. I will be your proxy and ask the stupid questions. I don't mind.
We
It
both will do
doesn't
that for
bother me
you.
in the least. Yeah, right. Kirk knows I have no problem looking stupid. I'll be the butt of my own joke,
Well,
so
sometimes both of us will sometimes take an opposing view too. So the whole
that's
point of
true.
our show is
On
not
purpose.
necessarily to always talk about everything from our theological viewpoint, but we're wanting to stir you up into faith. We want to stir you up to research the Word of God and grow beyond leaps and bounds where you think you can go. And just like Vince said, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, please send it to us. We'll be happy to be silly or foolish on behalf of you. Or, if you're just too embarrassed, we'll be happy to take that embarrassment and ask that
That's right.
crazy question. If you have a prayer request, please send those to us as well. You can do that by either emailing us at info@mooseministries.org, or you can go to mooseministries.org and go to the contact page and fill out the form there. We would love to hear from you. If you want to support us, you can also send donations there. We would be more than happy to, pray over you and pray over your ministry, pray over your life. Just let us know how we can do that for you. Guys, God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.
See you later.